Hello again, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today on our Bible study, on our study of devils and unclean spirits. I believe maybe, possibly, this might be our last lesson on this study that we're doing. Thank you for joining in today, and thank you for honoring our Lord and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's what we do. We get in here and find out, get on a topic in the word of God and find out what God's word says about it. And then we know what to believe, don't we? Yes, we do. Well, I hope you've been blessed. I hope you've been doing good and that you're in health. And if not, then we will pray for one another, and we know that God hears our prayers. And the Bible says He hears the prayers of the righteous, and we believe that. If you ever had a prayer answered, and it shouldn't surprise you to have your prayers answered, the Lord hears them. And the Bible says the Lord will not withhold any good thing to them that walk upright. But we also know that the will of God plays in that also, because He cares more about our being and our welfare. And we ask for something that's selfish or foolish or something like that, which we shouldn't, and we practice trying not to talk to the Lord that way. But if we do, the Lord intervenes for us and doesn't give us something that's going to hurt us, right? Talking about devils and unclean spirits, and recapping just a little bit, the last thing that we talked about, brothers and sisters, was recognizing devil possession and the influence of unclean spirits. I've never seen a devil, I don't read in the scriptures where anybody has ever physically seen a devil. I don't believe they appear to people. I don't read in the scriptures where devils appear to people like angels do. Unclean spirits do not appear to people, but they can. They're recognized through possession and influence. And that's about the only way that the scriptures describe them. You don't never read of anybody looking and seeing a devil like you would see them on one of these picture shows they make, and they don't never know what to do, give him horns or a forked tail or how he looks. The Bible doesn't say what devils look like. They are spirits. And recognizing devil possession and influence of unclean spirits is done mostly through spiritual application, us knowing what the Word of God says and what the Word of God says about devils and unclean spirits, and applying it to our walk and to our mind and to our thinking and in our hearts, and we can recognize it. Now, of course, we ain't going to walk around and point our finger at everything and everybody and say that's a devil and that's an unclean spirit and that kind of behavior, because that's not our place. Our place is to serve the Lord. And the Lord gave us this information in here for the purpose of bewaring of things. And the Lord said for us to be careful and to take heed, because the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So the Lord wouldn't have told us that, and to watch and to beware. And if He didn't want us to know their behavior and that they exist. So we talked about that recognizing devils and unclean spirits is that, first of all, you have to have the ability to do it. And the only way that, and I'm not talking about going to class and learning and you becoming an expert or a novice or something like that. I'm talking about being spiritual. Being born again is the first qualification. You have to be in the family of, you have to be indwelt by God the Holy Ghost. He's the one that shows us these things and teaches us these things and shows us truth. You have to be in the Word of God and reading and studying the Word of God so that God the Holy Ghost can take His Word and use it in your mind and in your heart and being conformed into the image of Christ. More than likely, if you're out running around and disobedient to the Lord and just acting a fool as a son of God or a daughter of God in the body of Christ, you're not going to recognize devils and unclean spirits, because they're probably all around you influencing you. And that's what they try to get the Christian to do, is get out of fellowship with the Heavenly Father, and they get a license. They get you fooling around with things that are devilish and unclean. Then they get a license to mess with you because you're voluntarily doing it. But if you're resisting it and you're submitting to the Lord, they can't mess with you. They have to resist. They have to leave you. They have to depart. They have to flee from you. You know, you have to have the ability we talked about. And another thing, that they're connected, those that are connected with unclean spirits and devils will like and prefer to work in the dark. Remember that? Those that are influenced by devils and unclean spirits will deny the personality of Satan as an evil being. They never will say that he's an evil being, that he is a, altogether an absolute being that is absolutely wicked. That's exactly what he is. There's nothing good or holy or righteous or clean about Satan. He is absolute. He is an absolute being that is absolutely wicked. Now, devil-possessed people hate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that? Those that are possessed or influenced by devils and unclean spirits will deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, I'm not making these things up. These are things that we studied and backed up with Scripture and seen that. So we can believe it with confidence. We can say this is something about devils and unclean spirits that we believe because the Scriptures have said it and we have studied it and we believe it. That's it. Devil's possession and influence is marked by sadism and masochism. We've seen 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 14, told us about cursed children, covetous practices, and unstable souls, and a heart that they exercise with covetous. They walk in deceivings and spots, they already said, blemishes, sporting themselves in their own deceivings. It just said they're going to utterly perish in their own corruption. Their own corruption. And there's natural brute beasts to be taken and destroyed, the Lord said. Speak evil of dignities, things that they don't understand. There's people in this world that are like that. Don't you know that? We used to be like that until the Lord pulled us out. Devil possession and influence is marked by excessive crying and nakedness. Yes, it is. Devil possession and influence is genuine spiritual schizophrenia, according to Mark chapter 5, verse 9. They have different personalities. Legion said that we are many. He had all kinds of devils of crying, devils of hatred, devils of probably cussing, and I mean all kinds of things. They have their own, how do you want to put that? Just the way it sounds, they have their own way of evil. Like one of them will make people cry and all the time, and one of them will make somebody seem that they have they're lunatic and crazy and stuff like that when they're not. They're just influenced or possessed by devils. Devil possession is not insanity. The Scripture separated that. Remember. He said also lunatic and devil possession, unclean spirit, possession and influence, and lunacy are separate things in the Scriptures that the Lord dealt with. He healed them separately and called them and named them separately. Devil possession can be tamed, cannot be tamed, I mean. It cannot be tamed. You cannot, you can't tame, all these people. You think these animals and people think they got, so much, people are crazy. They get in there with a stinking lion. And there are some people that get away with it, but that's not the rule. The rule is he looking at you like a steak dinner. Some people, there are exceptions and they get in there and the lion really looks like he's his friend and that he'll hug him and lick him and wouldn't hurt him for nothing in the world. And those are the ones that they, film and put on TV and call it, look at here, look at here. Yeah. You ain't gonna catch me in no pack of hyenas. You ain't gonna catch me around no pack of hyenas. Not me. That's not the rule. The rule is they're animals, and they are wild animals, and they're gonna tear you to pieces. And they don't ever tell you that and put that on the pictures. They just tell you that, look here, ones that are tamed and how powerful man is and what man can do. Yeah, they'll show you all the ones been eaten from head to toe. Devil possession cannot be tamed. Man cannot tame. You can take as many wooden crosses as you want and all the, what do you call that, the Catholics do, something flexing or whatever, do that, cross their chest and all this, that, and the other, and Hail Mary, all the Marys and this, that, and the other. There's no power in that to tame an unclean spirit or a devil. Man has no control over them. Now, you say, well, I've seen somebody control them. No, you've seen a devil deceiving somebody, making them think they're controlling them is what you've seen. There's no such thing as that. No devil, none. How are you going to control something you can't see and you can't understand and you got no power as a human being over, only God, the Holy Ghost within you, and the Word of God has powers over devils and unclean spirits. Believe that. That's what the scripture says. You don't see anybody. The sons of Sceva tried it one time, and they were sent down the road naked and running and injured, all seven of them. Go ahead and try it if you want to, but the scripture says you shouldn't. So we see that they cannot be tamed. All right? Now, getting into today's study and what we're going to try to finish up this study today, we're going to talk about some instances of devil and unclean spirit possession in the scriptures and talk about that for a minute. First of all, the man in the synagogue, remember him? Let me read it to you. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, now listen to this, let us alone. He's speaking in the plural there. He's either speaking such as Legion was speaking, or either he's speaking as a whole of the whole congregation of devils and unclean spirits. We don't know. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? He knew how powerful Jesus was. He knew what Jesus' intentions are, either now or in the future. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. We see that man. There he is, the man in the synagogue. The Bible plainly and just as simply as it can possibly say it, said that he cried, that a man with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit can come out of a man, or cannot come out of a man, unless first it was in him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded that. He said, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee. And Jesus told him, shut your mouth. He said, hold thy peace and come out of him. Well, an unclean spirit cannot come out of a man unless he's first within him. So there's one instance in the scriptures. Another one is the blind man, the blind and the dumb man, the man that couldn't speak, couldn't hear. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22 through 24, listen to this. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So the Pharisees knew by what they were watching that Jesus cast those devils out. There was a dumb devil in him, and there was a blind devil in him. That's what it appears to be, because when the Lord told those devils to get out of him, he got his sight back, and he got his speech back, you see. But there's another one. He was a blind and a dumb man. What are we talking about? We're talking about devils and unclean spirits possessing and influencing human beings. And instances where the Lord Jesus Christ cast them out, where they actually were in human beings, possessing them and influencing them. Another one, the two men of the Gergesenes. Remember them? There were actually two men there. One part of Scripture talks about only one of them, and one part of Scripture talks about both of them. Matthew chapter, you have to rightly divide the Word of God. You never take a unfinished statement, incomplete statement, and hold it as truth without the complete statement. You have to get the whole story. Like it said, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 34, listen to this. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Well, there they are. The Bible says very plainly there was two men that were possessed with devils. Now, that's either true or it's not true. We know it to be true, don't we? Coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They knew him. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There's a time they know that's coming. And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us. See, they knew that Jesus was probably going to cast them out. If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their way into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Everybody knew they were possessed in town. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. What some fools, man. You got the Lord Jesus Christ in your city, and he's casting out devils and these hog guys that had a business going there, the devils got in there and run their business out of business. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if they'd have kept him around. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on today. People keep the Lord Jesus Christ, don't mention him around their business because he changes things. But here we are. We see the two men of the Gergesenes that the Lord met up with, that believe that was Legion in another portion of Scripture, that was the one we was talking about. One of them fellows, or either both of them, had Legion in there, many devils and unclean spirits. We actually see where it says that they were two possessed with devils. That is an example in the Scriptures of truth. There are such things as people that are possessed with devils and influenced by unclean spirits. Another one, the dumb man, just simply that was what they described, the Scriptures describe him as in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 32 and 33. The Bible says, and they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. The Bible's not, it doesn't hold back in telling us the truth. Now, as many times that we're talking about already, if we stopped right here, we got enough evidence in the Scriptures to believe that human beings can be possessed by devils and are, and can be influenced by unclean spirits and are. We have enough evidence already from the Scriptures if you believe the Scriptures. But moving on, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, you can't be cast out unless you're first in, right? The dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Never so seen in Israel. What else? Well, the Canaanite woman's daughter, remember her? We find her in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 through 28. Listen to this. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now, she didn't have to ask the Lord what's wrong with her. She told the Lord what was wrong with her, that a devil was messing with her, either in her or out of her, we'll see. But answered her not a word. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and brought and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Oh, big, precious, sweet, huggy, kissy Jesus calling somebody a dog? You better find out what Jesus' character is really like. He's holy, but yet we see him saying it ain't right for me to help out no dogs. Now, you know what the update of the word dogs is, don't you? And she said, "Truth, Lord." In other words, I agree with you, Lord. "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And that amazed Jesus by her answer. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She went back home, found that girl, and found her that she didn't have that problem anymore. Either the devil had came out of her or the devil was leaving her alone and gone. And the Lord did that from a distance. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Just by her mother's prayer, her mother seeking Jesus's help. You see how powerful prayer is? Do you know somebody that might be influenced by devils or unclean spirits or messing around the drug world or the violent world or in a gang or drunkenness or whatever it might be that devils and unclean spirits would drive them to be involved in? You could pray for them. You know the Lord hears you. Lift their name up before the Lord and the Lord wouldn't dare call you a dog being part of the bride of Christ. And if he'll help out who he thinks and refer to as dogs, in other words, they weren't Israelites, he sure help you out. He will. The Canaanite woman's daughter, we've seen that. What else? What else in the scripture? The epileptic child, remember that one? Matthew chapter 17, the Bible tells us about this child. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic." He thought he's crazy, that he was crazy and sore vexed. Something's hurting my son. He's sore vexed and he's lunatic. He called him crazy. "For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft times into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him." He ain't even mentioned devils and unclean spirits yet. In another part of Scripture, they was brought up. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. You cannot come out of something unless you're first in it, right? And the child was cured from that very hour. So it was the devil's fault that child was appearing to be lunatic and that he was jumping in fires and jumping and getting in the water and trying to drown him. And this devil was doing these things and he was in him. That's what the scripture says. Now, it's either true or not. It's true, isn't it? It sure is. "There came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And listen to what Jesus' answer is to these men. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then he gives a reference right here about the differences in the power of these devils and unclean spirits. Listen to this. Howbeit this kind of devil that he just casted out. So in other words, Jesus is mentioning one kind, so there must be other kinds of devils. For instance, a devil that throws you into fire and throws you into water, and then there's other devils that make you cry, and there's other devils. But however, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You see? And the Lord give us a little evidence about the strengths and the characters and the ranking of devils and unclean spirits. They are an enemy. They're an opponent to the human race. The humankind, devils and unclean spirits, are enemies to humans. They want to destroy you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 9. Mary Magdalene. Remember her? Now she was one of the most faithful women after the Lord saved her and cleaned them devils out of her. She was one of the most faithful women to the Lord all the way to the cross and to the resurrection. One of the most faithful women. And before that, she was a prostitute. Isn't that amazing? So there's devils that make you be prostitutes, apparently. Let's see what it says. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. This woman had seven devils within her. Within her. That's what the Bible says. Now, how many we got there? Let's see how many we've counted so far that we have literally just read and the Bible told us about them being possessed or influenced. Most of them were possessed by unclean spirits and devils. Well, the man in the synagogue, that's one. The blind and dumb man, that's two. The two men of the Gergesenes, that's three, four. And then the dumb blind man, that's five. The Canaanite woman's daughter, that's six. The epileptic child, that's seven. Mary Magdalene, that's eight. Yeah. Devils and unclean spirits. Lots of instances in the scriptures that the Lord had written down to give to us. The Word of God is pure. It has no flaws in it. It is clean and holy. And when we read it, every word of God is pure. Every single word that we can trust. So everything the Lord has showed us about unclean spirits, we've not exaggerated it. We've not put our own definitions of things. We've just read the Word of God and understood it and taken it as it reads. Like Booker T. Washington said when somebody asked him, do you understand all the Word of God? And he said, no, sir, I just take it as it reads. And that's the way we are commanded to do. Just what does the Scripture say? And that's, we don't get all confused by that. The Lord said to avoid things that always cause questions. That question after question, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Forget that kind of learning. The Lord didn't give us anything to confuse us. He said, if we have faith as a child to read and understand and to learn the Word of God and rightly divide it, And God, the Holy Spirit, will educate us in the things of God and spiritual things. And whatever we can learn, He will advance us as He sees fit and educate us as He sees fit, conforming us into the image of His Son and giving us spiritual understanding of the things of God. Devils and unclean spirits. That's something, isn't it? Well, this concludes our study concerning devils and unclean spirits, and it by no means exhausts what there is to know concerning them, but familiarizes us as to what the Bible says. Christians are not to spend a great deal of time trying to know things concerning devils and unclean spirits. Don't get involved in all that mess. You're going to know enough about them when you're standing at when the body of Christ is at the white throne judgment and seeing their judgment. And that's all we need to know. I mean, we're to be winning lost souls and gathering people into the body of Christ and bringing them to the Lord and doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, however, we're supposed to be familiar enough to learn and to know how to resist them. The Lord said for us to resist them, commanded us to resist them. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And to not listen to them. But first you have to believe that they're talking to you. And you have to know the way that your mind works. And a new spiritual mind. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And you have to deny what they're telling you. I resist that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I submit to you. And when you resist, they'll leave you alone. You say, brother, that's silly. That's what the Scripture says. Let me ask you something. Have you tried it? Have you tried to resist them literally? A lot of you think it's you're crazy and that your mind's just, you're thinking over here and you're talking over here and you're talking to yourself. If you ain't talking to yourself, you are crazy. You're supposed to be talking to yourself and teaching yourself and correcting yourself. And you're supposed to be talking and resisting unclean spirits and devils. And you can if you believe the Word of God. All you have to do is say it verbally. And once you get to where you know you're yielding to God the Holy Ghost and leaving Him in charge of the matter, and submitting yourself to the Lord will run them off. They'll leave you alone. They do speak to you. You don't know that? They spoke to Jesus, didn't they? They spoke to Jesus in a church, in the synagogue, out by a lake, all kinds of places, in a crowd. They spoke to him and hollered out, "We know who you are." They spoke to him. His disciples were given power to cast them out. They were human beings. When they cast them out, they had to speak to them. Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, they were rebuked by the Lord several times to shut up so no one else would hear their words. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what it says. We are to study the things concerning the Lord and what His Word says. We are to set our affections on things above. We are to learn and to listen and yield to the Holy Spirit's leading and directing us. You're not to be involved in the stupid, ignorant things that are going on this planet right now. Your home is not here. Your home is above. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. Your place is not here. Your place is above. Set your affections on things above. Think on these things, the Lord told us. Things that the Scriptures teach us, that the Lord told us. Colossians chapter 3, listen to this. The Lord told us in Ephesians, remember what the Lord told us in Ephesians? Neither give place to the devil. Well, how you going to neither give place to the devil if you don't know he's trying to get a place with you or within you or around you or in your house or in your car or in your business or in your thinking or in your heart? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we're to guard our hearts and not to give place to the devil, anything. You cannot participate in neither giving place to the devil if you do not believe that he exists and is trying to get a place in you. Right? Right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Do that. You're under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Why are you under the yoke of the world again? Get out from under the yoke of the world. Don't let the world have a thumb on your head nowhere. Nowhere. Let me read you one last scripture and we'll close this study out. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 16. Listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You think about it. If you're walking after the flesh, you think about fleshly things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, thinking of things of the flesh, that's what carnal means. Carnal means flesh. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Your flesh and your fleshly mind that's in you that always reminds you of wicked things and tries to make you think of wicked imaginations and all this fleshly stuff that it tries to do for you is against God. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's the enemy of God. It says, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Your carnal mind and the fleshly mind and the flesh is never going to subject itself or submit itself to the law of God and God's rules and God's commandments. Never. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because you're walking in the flesh, and the flesh can't please God, because the flesh is the enemy of God, and it's never going to submit to it. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see? You're not to be messing around with devils and unclean spirits. You're not to be interested in them. You're not to put a great big study into it. You're to resist them. You're to avoid them. Pass not by. Avoid them. Turn away. Have nothing to do with them. Don't fellowship with them. Don't play no Ouija boards. Don't go watch no witchy witches. Don't fellowship with no witches and warlocks and wizards and all that sort of mess. And sorcery and making dope and all that kind of business that they're involved in. You're to walk in the Spirit and do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Amen? Amen. What a study, huh? Well, we did get through it, and we did find some things out. Some people might think they're nonsense and everything else, but not the ones that believe the book. Not the ones that believe God's Word. And we believe God's Word and what it says. And this has been a good study, and we've learned all we need to know about it, and that's all the Lord has told us about it. I'm sure we've not exhausted it. There's probably more to learn in the Scriptures about unclean spirits and devils and stuff like that, but the Lord's told us what He wants us to know and educated us concerning this matter, and let's move on and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop this study right here, and we've been talking about devils and unclean spirits. And we're going to move on and get into our next study. Hopefully it'll be E, and if I haven't put another D in there somewhere, but if not, we'll talk about E, and that is the enemy. The enemy. Yeah. So I hope that you'll continue joining in, and you'll know that devils and unclean spirits are going to try to keep you away from the Word of God before they'll do anything. They will stop you from being around God's Word. Don't let them do that. Resist them. Resist them. In the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll flee. They'll flee from you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Grove. I love you with Christ's love. Keep studying God's Word, whether it be with us or some other way, but study. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.